Hello, lovely listeners, and on today's episode, Evo No More, how the fighting game tournament is no longer being held this year, Sony might be buying Leiyu Technologies, Warner Brother Game Studios is getting sold, and $70 next-gen titles. You are now listening to Dual Pixel Radio, but first introductions.
What's up, I'm Joey.
I'm Jose, and tonight Rob has the night off.
Slacking.
So I'm gonna be yes I'm gonna be hosting co-hosting here tonight with Joey. Here we're gonna do our thing, and I know we always start with what we have been playing, and I'm not starting today.
I got it.
Yes, you got it this week. So Joey, yeah, what have you been playing?
So mainly two things. The Last of Us 2. I'll definitely finish that tonight or tomorrow morning. That game's really, really, really good.
Yeah,
it's like, I love the first Last of Us, and it's like that, like on steroids, like times 10. Like it's insane. One thing, without getting into spoilers or anything, like the level design is ridiculous in this game. The first game, we talked about it last week too.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. And again, I didn't want to spoil anything either, but now you're playing it.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to do a spoiler cast on it. So definitely, guys, look into that here. Stay tuned with us because we are doing a spoiler cast on The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah, but like I was saying, the levels on The Last of Us, it was like, there was kind of two ways to do something, you know? You can do it, like, taking this path or this path, whereas even just, like, the amount of verticality or underwater in, like, The Last of Us 2, like, it's insane. They're massive. I mean, some of them, if you're going, you know, pretty slowly and trying to be kind of more stealthy, I mean, they could take you, I don't know, 10 minutes, you know, on, like, a section, you know? It's just really neat, and I know we talked about this before. It was just like they made a very cinematic game without like you just watching cutscene after cutscene after cutscene. All the fighting, like you're not really that punished for failing like a stealth area because you don't have to stealth it. Like you have so much firepower and like agility this time. Just even dodging out of the way from like someone swinging an axe or like a clicker's mouth or something, like it feels like you're in an action movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely feels like you're playing a dream game, to be honest. Yeah. Like I honestly put it up there with the greats, with like the Mario 64, the Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. Like I put it up there with the greats because it definitely moves the gaming medium forward in that sense. Like you mentioned, there's a lot of depth into it. Mm-hmm. There's just so much to take in.
Yeah.
With The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah, and then like it's kind of a typical Naughty Dog thing, especially recently. There's no like spot where something's lacking. It's not like the combat's good, but the story's not. It's not like the story's good, but the, you know, soundtrack's bad. You know, everything's so good. Usually, like a lot of games, should be like really good combat, don't care about the story, or vice versa. You know what I mean? There's usually something faltering in a lot of other games, like The Witcher 3, one of my favorite games in a long, long time. The combat wasn't necessarily where it should be. You know, So, like, it's Naughty Dog's really unique in their ability to not let anything pull them down. Like, everything lifts everything else, whether it's, like, the lighting or small things like when Ellie walks in the rain, she puts her hood up. You know what I mean? If it's windy, she'll, like, start to shiver. Like, it's neat little things like that that they're not huge, but, like, they make such a big difference. And then I'm sure everybody's heard about, like, the crazy rope technology, like, you can run a rope around like a building and then it'll like, once it gets taut, it'll pull you back, you know, like it's crazy. Just the amount of, I guess what's the word, like care that was taken to like every single aspect of this game. So
yeah, it's meticulous. Yeah. Like the way they they crafted everything. Mm-hmm. And I finished the game. Like, literally, like, when I was talking about it last week, I finished the game, like, a few hours out. And the game is about, you know, like, 25 hours, but it's, like, all worth it. It's one of those games where it's like the time does not matter. And that's why, when we spoke on the last podcast regarding the AAA games being, you know, just a certain length, that's why, this one is just a very special case because everything builds on top of each other. Yeah. It's a moving game in that sense, mm-hmm. that it just makes you feel like you're a part of something bigger and that the gaming industry is a part of something bigger.
Yeah.
So I definitely get you there.
Speaking of moving game, the other game I played was Rocket League. Get it? Because you're rocket powered cars moving. yeah.
Well, we've all been playing it.
So. Rocket League is it's good. It's fun. I think it's simple to like pick up, but it's like insanely hard to like master it. And I think that's like to its benefit. Because a lot of sports games, there's like layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of doing things. Whereas like this one is like you drive a car, you have boost, and you hit the ball into the net. That's it. You know, obviously there's nuances to certain things of like how to set people up and how to tumble in the air and hit an aerial shot, but it's just a simple, straightforward game. I think that's why it's still doing so well. I mean, it did extremely well on PS Plus. Like, it had like insane number of downloads, and it's doing extremely well on PC.
Yeah, we've all been playing it. And you can watch our streams too on Twitch. Mm-hmm. But we have been playing it, and we have been loving it just because it's just so, you know, it's so just easy.
Yeah.
Easy just to put on.
Yeah,
definitely. Catch us on Twitch for that, because we have been just loving it, and we were into Rocket League, like, you know, when it first came out on the PS4.
5 years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago we played. I would say hundreds of hours. I would think. We definitely played a lot of it, but I know I just got my PC here. In February, my new PC, I just bought my new PC, and I didn't have Rocket League on PC, so I had it on PS4 and the Switch. Now I got it on PC, now we're all playing together, and yeah, it's just been pretty fun with Rocket League.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those games where it's just easy.
Yeah, easy to pick up, don't have to think too much, especially if you have friends to jump in with, it's even better.
Yeah.
I guess the only last thing... Iron Man VR, haven't played that in like a couple of days though, but that's easily probably the best like actual full-fledged experience, because like Batman VR I think is better in a way for what it does, but it's like a tech demo essentially. Batman VR, it's like an hour and a half or 2 hours or something.
Whereas
Iron Man VR is like it's a legit game. It's really good. It feels good. It's super intuitive. You just kind of naturally do what you think you're supposed to do, and it works. You can tell it's like stressing the hardware a little bit, just because like there are a lot of load times, especially in between like the middle of a chapter, which is annoying. But other than that, like there's only been one instance where like the graphics look pretty poor. Chapter 2 Shanghai, I think it is. But I'd be curious to see, like, assuming this does work with PS5, like, those load times probably aren't going to exist, you know? So that'll make it a lot more kind of streamlined and, like, keep you in the experience instead of pulling you out and, you know, have, like, a 45-second load time or whatever. But as for, like, how it feels, like, it feels awesome. Like, you legit feel like Iron Man.
Yeah, for sure. And that's something I was gonna mention too. Yeah. That's what I have been playing. Just in general, that's pretty much what I've been playing like a lot of. And I've been really like trying to enjoy VR as much. I know a lot of people don't like the setup for like the PSVR with the wires and, you know, everything of that nature. But I'm in the space where, you know, I can have my VR like out and the wires don't really matter. As I played in my little like my little room here where I have my desk. So it's to me, it's not really the effort in, I guess, getting it all set up because it's already set up for me. So that part is already like out of the picture. So for me, that's set up. Right. You know, going into the game with Iron Man VR, like what I really, really love about it, like you mentioned, like you really do feel like Iron Man. Like you really feel like Tony Stark. Like,
yeah,
you know, everything that you do feels natural. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel forced in the sense of as it's a gimmick.
Yeah, not at all.
And that to me, like, it's very, very impressive because there's a lot of games on PSVR that do that. And I feel like a lot of people are not taking notice on the type of game experiences that the PSVR has. I know we have like the Oculus Quest, and the, Valve Index, to provide like VR experiences, but there is like particular games on PSVR, which are like something that you can't get on those. Like Wipeout, pretty much Omega Fury, the collection, Astrobot, and then Iron Man VR is like putting into perspective, like Sony's really trying to make this thing work and it's working for me. Like it's really becoming its own thing. Like where else could I play Iron Man VR? And on top of that, like I mentioned, it's not a gimmick. These are like full actual games and you could control them. Like Iron Man VR has no set like gimmick in that sense of where, you know, you're doing something one by one. No, this is the actual full legit game where you could like go ahead and upgrade your costume, like your armor and your missiles and et cetera, and et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's actually providing me like with a good game, just experience in general. Like I'm like, wow, like I really feel like I'm playing something like advanced. And like you mentioned, like there are some moments where, there are PS2 level quality graphics, yeah, in that sense. But it gets overlooked. Like I could overlook it just because it feels right. Like it's something like I never done before. So mm-hmm. I could overlook it because I'm always flying. I'm always on the move. Everything feels, you know, reactionary to what I'm doing. So yeah, it just feels great to actually play it. And I wonder too, with the PS5, like you mentioned, those loading times actually break the immersion. Yeah. A bit. So with the PS5 there's a PSVR patches. I'm wondering if Iron Man VR is going to get one. I hope it does because it would make the game 100 times better.
Yeah, for sure.
With those patches. So definitely it's something great with Iron Man VR. I wish that, you know, I wish that, you know, when PSVR 2 comes out, that there is a part 2, and I wish that this continues because this is actually just a full-blown game. It's not a gimmick, mm-hmm, like some people would say. I mean, there are some little occurrences where, you know, sometimes the controls don't react a little correct, but that's very, very few and far between.
That's pretty rare.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, which is pretty amazing for the technology of the PSVR. Like you said, it's just stressing. Feels like it's stressing the actual system while playing it. And it's definitely true, just because of what you're playing. So that's what I've been playing, like, just in general. A lot of Iron Man VR. I don't know if you got finished there with what you were saying, but...
That was it, take it away.
Yeah, for sure. So Iron Man VR was pretty much my game of the week in terms of what I've been playing. I know we always like change up different games, but there's a lot of games to play and a lot of them are real, real good. So definitely take our word for it with some of these titles here. Another one I've been playing, and Joey, you mentioned this one last week, mm-hmm, and it got me to go ahead and just explore a little bit more of it, and it was Kind Words. Yep. Yeah, so I actually been playing that a lot. And I've been having it on pretty much during any time of the day with kind words, just because I feel like I'm giving just advice on things that, you know, things that may have happened to me or things I know about. And it feels good just leaving that sort of feedback with someone every day, you know, you doing it and leaving that sort of feedback and people appreciating that you understand them.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, so I definitely love kind words for that. And yeah, it's a great recommendation, that one in particular. I honestly feel like I'm Carrie Bradshaw. I don't know if you Sex and the City. Yeah, I don't know if anyone. Yeah. Yeah, if you get that reference, okay. But you know, it just feels good giving advice out for, you know, situations. And the game is all about being positive, and writing things and being positive and giving advice, positivity. So it's good in this day and age that a game like that exists. There's not many games that help you spread that sort of a love around.
Yeah.
So it's definitely good that game exists. And I have that on, like, you know, at any sort of hour of the day, just so, you know, I could write and read some of the stuff people have to say for me, and just hearing that stuff and reading it, it just makes me feel good. So it's definitely just something great. Now, besides kind words, I actually got Super Mario, New Super Mario Brothers Deluxe on the Switch. And this is recent. This is like yesterday, yes. And remember, I said that I wasn't going to buy a remastered Nintendo title for $60. Well, guess what? I didn't. I bought it for $40. That's my limit. That's my limit for those remastered Nintendo titles. And yeah, it's definitely worth it for $40. Like I mentioned, I'm trying to not give Nintendo all the benefit of the doubt. I know that, you know, I know some people would pay the $60, but I'm on the team of stop putting Nintendo tax towards everything. Because if Sony could release like Shadows of the Colossus, which is a masterpiece, for $40, why does Nintendo have to release something like that for $60?
Nintendo tax.
So yeah, Nintendo tax. So I mean, yeah. So I've been playing New Super Mario Brothers Deluxe for the Switch. It's been great. I've been playing with Michael, my partner, and he joined us. He joined me on the actual last spoiler cast that we did for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. He's getting more into gaming. Again, just because of the quarantine with everything. So he's getting more into gaming. He's observing my world a bit and it's been working out. So, but there's a lot of rivalries going on with the Mario games and Mario Kart. So I'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's all I've been playing like, this week. I'm still actually playing a few other titles. Just very, very little of, but I'm actually playing a few other titles, just not really that noteworthy of, like you could expect. So I'm still playing a lot of stuff. There's just a lot of stuff in this, you know, just this, period of time where it's like, wow, like the Steam sales, the PSN sales, the eShop sales, the Xbox Live sales. There's a lot of stuff to catch up with. And it's a great time to be a gamer. Definitely a great time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like we lucked out. Us gamers lucked out. Here with all the sales. Yeah, so yeah, that's all I've been playing this week, just in general. All right, so I guess we're gonna go into topics.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're gonna start off with something like dear to my heart, with Evo. So Evo is actually canceled this year. So the actual Evo 2020 was canceled in terms of you know, just a physical event because of COVID. But now Evo, they were going to do the EVO tournament was going to go on online, but now that's actually been canceled. And this is all due to the EVO CEO, being outed for allegations of like sexual abuse. And yeah, it's pretty sad, for me, just in general. I've played with the fighting game community, you know, when I was back in New York, when like the whole era of Street Fighter 4 and Marvel vs. Capcom 3, started, and you know, it got real big. So it's kind of like sad seeing just this type of involvement in the fighting game community in terms of like sexual allegations and just like everything that could go wrong in terms of the gaming industry is going wrong. And this is just like an apparent thing like going on. And I just didn't want to speak about EVO just in general. I wanted to speak about just the whole gaming community, how, it's getting very toxic.
I mean, to a point I think where it's always been toxic. It's just coming out now, you know?
Yeah. It's just coming out. Yeah. I think, yeah. That's the right way to phrase it. Yeah. And it's not weird for me, but it's just sad for me. Especially with EVO being affected by it, and it should, because Joey Sellers, the CEO of the EVO fighting tournaments, he did pretty much he did out him for that, and it was canceled because of that, and he's no longer involved with EVO in any capacity. And moving forward, Tony Cannon is now the acting CEO of EVO, and they have just canceled all the online tournaments, and they put out a public statement, regarding it. And it's definitely the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially in this time. And this also ties into, again, just the toxicity and just how everything is. And even with like the actors who are in The Last of Us 2, they're getting a lot of like stuff thrown at them and things just because of the actual game. And it's kind of sad for me, like seeing that happen. It all ties into this. It's like, come on, like we're all in this community and, you know, we all want to see things like prosper, and there shouldn't be, you know, if you don't like a story, like for The Last of Us 2, if you don't like a story, that's okay. But you shouldn't be attacking people for it. Like, and it's in, and I understand if you don't like a story, because you know, you can not like a story of a game, and it's okay. But let me tell you, The Last of Us Part 2 does things, you know, it does things that takes the gaming medium to a whole different level. So it's kind of bittersweet that's happening like that.
Yeah.
I
mean, for the EVO stuff and all the stuff about, mostly women coming out against like all these guys who, you know, groom them, sexually harass, rape, so on and so forth. Like, when the Me Too movement, what was that, like last year, the year before that, like it was time that this would come out, you know? And I'm glad it is coming out, just because the sooner we get these people away from people they can victimize, the better, you know? Like from all the ones I've read, it's going through the Twitch community a ton as well. And that's been going on for years and years. Like, it's extremely sad. A place a lot of people go to feel belonging, you know, like if, you know, you don't fit in with your friends at school or whatever, like, everybody could always find that space in gaming, and like that's kind of where a lot of us gravitated toward. And then just knowing like that place where it was safe for like me, for instance, and you maybe, and you know, Rob and so on and so forth, like it wasn't for a lot of women that were trying to get into it. And it just plain sucks, you know. Especially like people with power. It doesn't make it any better, obviously, anybody else, but like a CEO of EVO, like all the stuff about Ubisoft coming out too, like there are a lot of people on their board about, you know, putting women in awkward situations sexually in meetings and everything. Like it's super shameful, and it puts a spotlight on the gaming community for sure. And it should, you know,
I definitely agree with that. And this is just something I wanted to go over with. Just because, again, this is our, like, space. Like, you know, gamers, like you said, it's somewhere where we feel safe.
Yeah,
and it should be somewhere where everyone feels safe.
Exactly.
So, yeah, all this stuff, it's definitely great that it's coming out into light. I just wanted just to go into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just with Evo, you know, getting canceled for that. And that's good that it's getting canceled.
Yeah.
For that. Yeah, it's definitely, there's a lot of things we have to improve.
For sure. Yeah.
And this is everywhere too. Yeah. So
it sucks. Like, it happened, obviously, and wouldn't wish that on anybody. But at least, like, they have the strength to come forward, because, like, they'll make lasting change within the community. Because if companies care about one thing, it's money, and this will directly affect the money they're receiving. It sucks it always comes down to money, but it does. And this will directly impact them. Because, I mean, with, like, the Last of Us stuff, like, that's just people hanging on to, I guess, masculinity when the world's changing without them. So it's like their last grasp at, you know, their video games, which is stupid. But like that one is just like, I couldn't imagine sending that to somebody I hated that I personally knew, you know what I mean? Let alone someone you've never met, you'll probably never meet, you know, that made a story that they felt strongly about. Like, it's just insane. Like, the death threats, the rape threats, like Laura Bailey, I know it's like, I don't get how people don't understand, like, they're people too, you know, like, they came up with the story through their experiences, potentially, you know? So, like, people like that contribute to all of this, you know, because they're always the ones that are like, well, is there any evidence? You know, like, they're the first people to say, trying to find evidence, trying to go, like, you know, the route of that they think is best, even though it's clearly wrong. But yeah, I could talk about this forever, but it all comes back to believe women, you know, support them. And if this goes on in your community, out people. You don't have to, like, be nice about it. Just call people out. I think that'll help a lot, just especially in games. Call people out, block them, report them. Reporting functions in most games do work pretty well. So use them.
Yeah, definitely use them. That's definitely the message we want to spread. And mm-hmm. this is for our gaming community. We want everyone to be included in everything. And we want everyone to be treated fairly.
Yep.
Like, so it's definitely, you know, all this stuff going on. Definitely just to weigh in on just everything here in the gaming community. So yeah, we just hope things get better.
They will, for
sure. You know, with those people in power. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you know, we're going to move on to something a little bit lighter. Yeah. Well, not a little bit lighter. But yeah, something much more lighter mm-hmm. compared to what we were speaking. Yep. So the Bloomberg report has reported that Sony is looking to buy Leiyu Technologies. Now, Leiyu Technologies are the publishers of Warframe and a few other titles. They actually own about 6 different studios. Warframe being the most prominent pretty much IP of Leiyu Technologies. Mm-hmm. And Sony is looking to buy Leiyu Technologies for $1.2 billion.
That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, it is a lot of cash. Now, how I feel about, like, first party buying, like, a big publishing house like this, to me, it depends. The reason why I say it depends, it's what's needed. For me, it's what's needed. Now, this is not a bad buy for Sony in a business sense. It's not a bad buy for Sony. Because they need multiplayer. They need a team of developers that are multiplayer focus. So this is actually a good buy for Sony. But in my gamer sense, I'd rather this be, you know, sold to like a third party.
Yeah.
In a business sense, it makes sense. Like thinking about, you know, just Sony in general, because Leiyu Technologies, they also do a lot of other things in gaming. So it makes sense for Sony trying to like bid on them in terms of them getting bought out. Now again, Sony would be the owners of like certain IPs, so including Warframe being the biggest. And it's an investment. Now, this is actually, so this news have during the week, this news actually has been changed a little bit. So it was Sony weighing on the bid for Leiyu Technologies, but now Tencent, which is the publisher of League of Legends, and they own like a partial stock in Epic Games as well. And they're one of the biggest gaming publishers around. Tencent is actually in talks with Leiyu Technology. So it kind of halted Sony's plan to, to buy out Leiyu Technologies, because now they're talking with Tencent, who might split them another deal.
Yeah, I mean, Tencent has, if they have anything, they have like unlimited cash. So
well,
they,
yeah.
they could outbid pretty much anybody on anything. As for Sony, like, I just think it's weird timing for them to buy it right now. With all the COVID stuff, with PS5 like coming out very soon, it just doesn't seem like they'd want to drop $1.2 billion right now, you know?
Yeah, but when you... The thing is, when you say that, this is actually... So this all happened with Leiyu Technology and Sony, but in the same week, Sony is actually invested in Epic Games. They spent $250 million.
Which is a fraction of $1.2 billion.
Yeah, it is a fraction. Yeah, it definitely is a fraction of $1.2 billion, but they're actually a shareholder in Epic Games.
Yeah.
And it's like about 1 or 2%.
That one I feel like makes a lot more sense, though, because, I mean, that's going to be like... one of the premier engines for next gen, for sure. You know, once developers do move onto it, and like the Travis Scott concert in Fortnite, you know, he's a Sony artist, so it's more. It kind of further strengthens their relationship, that $250 million. You know what I mean? So it's interesting that I'm pretty sure, like in the press release, even like it talked about like this isn't PlayStation, you know, it's Sony like as a whole that will contribute from the Epic further partnership. I just don't see the, I mean, I know Warframe's big and I'm sure it does well, but does it do $1.2 billion during COVID as you're releasing a console? It just doesn't make sense to me, which means they're probably going to do it right after this, so be ready.
Yeah, it always works the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's interesting. It's just very interesting that they would drop that money in Epic. Like you said, it's for like the greater...
Yeah, furthering relationship.
I guess the greater portfolio of Sony. Yeah. Yeah, but it's to me, it's interesting because it's like just most of the stuff that that was talked about in regards to the Unreal Engine and the PlayStation 5 was that talked about because of this deal that was going on. You know, these deals are not done reactionary.
In a day, yeah. It's not like tomorrow.
Yeah,
like,
in a day.
Let's spend $250 mil. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird for me, because it's like, okay, so what else is really a part of this deal? And that's something that they won't say. And it's something I'm very, very curious about, just because That's definitely something they won't talk about.
Yeah. I mean,
something they definitely.
It is interesting how they were talking about like how like there's like sound bites like, you know, it's gonna push PCs forward. Who's the dude at Epic? It's not Tim.
Oh no,
Tim,
it's like,
Sweeney. It's not, right.
I was just thinking. Wait, is it?
Is it? Okay, yeah. Like how he was like just talking up Sony. PlayStation 5 up so much, like, constantly, you know. There was article after article after article, and, like, I'm sure it had part to do with the 250 mil. Like, maybe it wasn't on the table yet, but there was an opportunity it could be. And it's not like you're going to, like, throw them under the bus, you know what I mean? And it's not like Epic's going to talk bad about Microsoft either, because, I mean, they're going to be using the engine as well, you know? So yeah, it's just a lot of, it's PR, you know, I mean, that's what it is. It's
yeah. PR. And a lot of, you know, and a lot of developers are going to be using the engine as well. So it's,
oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of like, you know, what's the real deal behind this? And it's, yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting just finding out everything. You know, just as the PS, five, like, you know, once we see it in, once it comes out and we see everything transitioning into the PS5. So it's going to be very interesting looking into all of that going forward.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, we talk about Sony, you know, trying to bid for Leiyu Technologies and Sony getting a piece of Epic, but this is another twist here. Warner Brothers Game Studios, AT&T is actually looking to sell it, and there's rumors. Well, not, you could say they're rumors yet, just because nothing has been officially announced.
Yeah.
But it looks like either EA, Take-Two, Microsoft, or is it Ubisoft? Yes.
Yeah.
It's Ubisoft are looking to bid into WB Game Studios from AT&T. So
that's quite the bunch of publishers right there.
Yeah. This is where things get a little bit more interesting. Like I said, from a business sense, it makes sense for some of these companies to bid on WB Game Studio.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for almost anybody to just a diversify portfolio.
Yeah. And it's pretty much the lesser of all the evils that gamers want, you know, WB Game Studios to go for.
Yeah.
Knowing how this works, I wouldn't want it to go to the lesser of two evils, because then it locks out. It'll lock out the game for, you know, the major platforms. So yeah, this is pretty interesting here. I know, just looking around,
what if they didn't lock it out?
The thing is, and we are talking about Microsoft here, because we are talking about Microsoft. The thing is that we don't know that. You know, Minecraft came in at a different point in time, but
still was pretty revolutionary and not.
Yeah. Minecraft is very, it's interesting. Minecraft is very universal, but from this WB Game Studios purchase, the only actual IP that is confirmed to go over if one of these developers, publishers do buy, is Mortal Kombat. That is the only IP that would cross over, technically speaking. Any other IP that does cross over would still have license agreements to them.
Yeah, we really have no idea what that would look like.
Yeah, it's very hard to tell. Like,
that's an entirely other mess figuring out all that.
it's very hard to tell, and, you know, just knowing Mortal Kombat and going with the lesser of two evils, Microsoft. Again, Minecraft is its own special case. That's how I see Minecraft. Minecraft is its own special case.
Imagine the goodwill, though. Like, if they did allow that to be on anything.
Yeah, but it's sort of a false goodwill, because it's something that, again, any game studio will love it. I would love for WB Games to be either independent, WB Game Studios to be independent, or bought out by Take-Two, EA, or Ubisoft. Now, out of those three, I would love Take-Two to have it. It would actually diversify their portfolio. In general, looking at just EA and Ubisoft, it would diversify Take-Two's portfolio a lot more than those two. But I feel with Mortal Kombat being the deciding factor, I feel like it's going to be, that would be something that would be locked into just the Xbox and the PC. Because you wouldn't buy a game studio and not use it to its full advantage.
Sure, you're buying talent too. Like
yeah. You're buying talent, but if Mortal Kombat's the only IP that you get off of it. And Mortal Kombat is a huge seller on all platforms. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huge. Now let's go ahead and sell Mortal Kombat just to Xbox owners and PC owners. In hindsight, you're buying WB Game Studio for that IP.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, universally, like, you could make the next Mortal Kombat universal, but I'm pretty sure they could use this as leverage. And again, they should be able to use it as leverage. That's not the problem. Yeah. They should be able to use it as leverage, but for a lot of people to think that they wouldn't, that's a shame. Because you want to use those things as leverage, those IPs as leverage.
I mean, that's why anybody buys any studio.
Correct. Yeah. That's the whole point.
Like, that's exactly the reason.
Now, I feel like this happening, Microsoft buying WB Game Studios is going to open up a whole nother can of worms where Sony and Nintendo are going to start buying game studios, and it's going to be a race.
I mean, it's not like they haven't been, though.
Yeah, it's not like they haven't been. And you can make the case for Insomniac Games. But Insomniac Games has been working for Sony for 22 years. Sony actually made them, you know, let them go free to go ahead and make, like, Sunset Overdrive and that VR game as well. So, you know, in that sense, it's kind of, with Insomniac, it's like, I get it. This one, on the grand scale of things, I wouldn't get for Microsoft, but they wouldn't be using it as an advantage compared to, to Minecraft, because Minecraft is a whole bigger beast than this.
Minecraft is absolutely insanely big.
Yeah, it's a whole bigger beast.
It's
so,
like, stupidly big.
Yeah, it's a whole bigger beast. So WB Game Studios would be used as an advantage, and for a lot of people to not think that way is just proving, you know, everything that's wrong in gaming right now in how people see things. But yeah, I would be using it as an advantage too. Screw that. Mortal Kombat exclusively on Xbox? Why not? It's the highest selling fighting franchise. And then you have WB Studios, Game Studios, another realm that could make Injustice with splitting a license deal with Warner Brothers. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
What's not to love about that sort of a perk? Going with this whole thing, that's why I say, like, it has to be in the company's DNA, and WB Game Studios and NetherRealm is in Microsoft's DNA. That's exactly the type of game they want. It fits into their portfolio. It definitely fits. So I wouldn't blame Microsoft for making it exclusive. That's one, but I do shame the people who think they wouldn't make it an exclusive.
Yeah. I think they would, but I think it would be wild if they didn't. I'm almost certain they would.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, it doesn't make sense to pay a lot of money for something and not keep it as your own. But, like, could you imagine? Just imagine. Like, close your eyes. Think about it.
Well,
it would be insane.
It would be insane, and the first title I would see would be Mortal Kombat versus Killer Instinct. That's what I...
That would be so cool.
Yeah, it would be cool, but then Killer Instinct is going to get killed off. That's how I see it. That's how those two cannot coexist together as single titles. They cannot. It's either one or the other.
See, I think they could is Killer Instinct free to play or no?
No. Killer Instinct is free to play, and you could buy like characters. Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think it can exist free to play. Because I think it has a very specific audience. I think we talked about this before. Like, I would never touch Killer Instinct ever. But I buy every Mortal Kombat. And I think a lot of that is, like, I don't really care about frame data, whatever, everything else you crazy people talk about. Whereas, that's why something like Mortal Kombat is kind of enticing to me, is because, like, you don't really need to. Especially when you just play casually like I do. Whereas, like, if I picked up, like, I don't know, Street Fighter or something, I have no idea what I'm doing at all. Ever. And similar to Killer Instinct, like, there's a lot going on. And I think they could coexist, but they'd have to be differentiated more in a way. And I think keeping Killer Instinct free to play would be a good way to do it. Maybe it's alternating years or something, but then that puts Injustice in a weird spot.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to mention. It would make a different Killer Instinct, that's for sure.
Hey, maybe just go Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct, Injustice, and then do it again.
Yeah, it would put it in a weird position, you know, in terms of how to alternate and how to differentiate all those fighting titles. But I feel like it's in the right, I guess, DNA for Microsoft to do it. Yeah. And honestly, this is something that they would keep exclusive. And anyone thinking otherwise is silly.
Yeah, what's crazy, though, is like we don't even know if 100% these are getting sold anytime soon. Like, this could take a while, you know?
Yeah, it could definitely take a while. Yes.
Like, we haven't heard much news since we first heard about this, like, 2 weeks ago or a week ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's probably...
I haven't heard a single thing.
Well, yeah, it was about a week so far. Tencent, you know, just came into that sort of a bid deal with Leiyu Technologies. And
yeah, we kind of heard about that one a little bit.
Yeah.
This one for AT&T, like, there hasn't been much, really.
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty interesting, you know, just moving forward in the upcoming weeks to see what does go down. Because Mortal Kombat might find a new home. So this is going to get all the more interesting, you know, as the sooner, you know, they get down to the nitty gritty with the details. But in a perspective of business sense, Microsoft, it's in their DNA.
Yeah.
I would like them to work on their own and nurturing their developers, but this is actually a good deal for them. But personally, I would like the franchises to go to Take-Two. That way it keeps everything diverse and it doesn't, I guess it's not very, what do you call it? So the game will come out there on, the PlayStation console and the Switch consoles. Because I just don't see Mortal Kombat being a universal title like Minecraft. Like you mentioned, it's still in the works, so we'll find out a little bit more coming soon, I hope.
Hopefully. Like, I mean, who knows? This could be something that drags on to, like, the console's coming, you know, the release comes, and then we're still like, oh, yeah, I wonder what happened with WB. Like, I wonder, like, from a standpoint as one of their studios, like, I wonder how that works. Like, do you just keep working as if you're not being bought out, and then you're all of a sudden bought out, then everything changes, you know what I mean? Like, especially since a lot of their stuff is licensed of some sort, like, that has to be weird. Because Injustice should be coming up 2021, you know? Like, if we roughly look at when games come out between MK and Injustice. Like, is that on hold? Or what's going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and even with this, so like you said, it's going to be weird in terms of timetables, in terms of development of like certain games. But also, anytime they do these sort of mergers, there's a lot of people get laid off. During
the
reason murders.
Maybe that might not be the case is they have a ton of studios at Microsoft now, you know, they could probably shift a lot of those people onto projects. I'm fairly certain without knowing exactly how many people, like, they bought what, like 12 studios just like in the past couple of years. And at least Microsoft is huge, you know? So it's not like anything should be slimmed down that much, but I'm sure some people will lose their jobs because that's just kind of how it always does go. But at least they're going to probably a much larger company.
Yeah. Well, all those companies are very, very large. So,
yeah. I mean, Microsoft is bigger than Take-Two and EA and Ubisoft for sure.
Well, UB is actually very, very big. UB is actually the biggest out of all of them. So, in terms of like a gaming company.
Yeah, but I mean, capital wise.
Yeah, capital wise. Yeah, Microsoft would definitely be the biggest out of all of them.
Microsoft has money. They just have to be okay with kind of burning some of it for now, which it seems like they were okay with it, you know, between things like Game Pass and all the studios they bought. So trending in the right direction. So
yeah, for we'll sure. See. Yeah. It's definitely in the we'll see mode.
Speaking of Take Two and 2K.
Oh yes, going into our final topic of the day. Yes, and this is pretty. It's pretty scumbaggish. And not really. So NBA 2K21 is actually the first next gen title to cost $69.99. Mm-hmm. So what this means is that we might be expecting next gen titles for the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X to be $70 on release. Now, it's kind of weird just hearing it out, but you know, just with all the microtransactions coming into games,
that's what the issue is.
This is where it becomes an issue, because games during the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis era, they were valued at this much. They were valued at $70-$80 for some titles. So this is not new. This is not a new thing for gaming. I guess the new thing that you could put into perspective with, you know, the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo era is that games are becoming half-assed in the sense that we're getting a lot of microtransactions and DLC in between that pretty much should have been in the actual game release. So now having a $70 title plus the DLC, you know, it creates a whole nother beast. And 2K21 being like the first one.
That makes it look bad.
Yeah, it does make it look bad, because 2K20, NBA 2K just in general is one of the worst offenders in terms of microtransactions.
By far.
Yes, by far.
And like, that's the thing, like, if you said they were $70 and there's no microtransactions, I'd be all for that, you know?
Or very little microtransactions.
Even very little. But like, the amount that's in 2K games, especially now, there's no way. And they always talk about moving everybody to digital, which they earn more revenue from a digital transaction than they do a physical. It's like they want to have their cake and eat it too, in a way. Like, we're going to charge you more. We're going to get more of the profit because we're making it easier to move to digital, and we're piling microtransactions on top of it. It's like, something's not right, you know?
Yeah, and
I get, like, budgets are soaring for, you know, game development and so on, but, like, these companies are making record-breaking revenue from microtransactions right now, you know?
And
those aren't going away.
And another thing, too, and this is in particular with sports games. With sports games, every time we jump over to a new generation, the actual features that you get are not the same from the current versions.
It's usually less.
Yes.
Like, I remember jumping from Madden on PS3 to 4, and, like, there was so much stripped down from it, and then it gradually gets added back in. It's insane. Like, I'm a pretty big Madden fan and NHL fan as well. And it just sucks. They're, like, so far behind. And since there's no competition, like, everyone's like, oh, 2K is so much better. Like, NFL 2K, whenever that was out. Like, maybe it was, but, like, that thing would be microtransaction like crazy right now, which I don't want that either. Yeah, it's weird. Just because we're talking about, it's kind of off topic, but just because we were talking about sports and stuff and a company that had an exclusive game, now it's going multi-plat, NBA or MLB The Show is doing just that next year. So that's a PS4, you know, Sony exclusive, obviously, because it's made by Sony Studio. And next year, that's going to be on, I believe, it's anything on Sony, Microsoft, and I want to say PC, don't know for sure about that one, but definitely going to be on Xbox.
And the Switch.
Which is interesting. Is it going to be Switch as well?
Yeah, it's going to be on the Switch as well.
Yeah. So, like, I actually didn't even think about that when we were talking about that topic, but, like, huh. Like, and that's really good, just because, like, man, that sucks. Like, you bought a console, and sports, you assume those are, you know, just going to be for everybody, and it wasn't. But on topic, yeah, like $70, man, that's going to suck if everything goes that way. But if they were smart, here's like my marketing brain. If they were smart, the digital title would be $60.
Yeah.
That's how I would convince people to go digital. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And yeah, I was just about to mention that too.
It's like, oh, what is that, like 10, 15% off or whatever? Like, oh, buy digital. And it's like this percentage off, you know, which is less than the physical one, but the same current price now. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, it would only make sense if things started going that way. Like the only way I wouldn't see it going that way would be that it would just piss off like the retailers.
Sure. But I mean, they're in a spot where like PS3, anything before that, even like you needed retailers, like the percentage of digital is getting higher and higher. Like retailers are going to start to realize like, they don't have the power in this conversation, you know? You always hear those reports like, oh yeah, in 2 years, it's going to be all digital. We're like, I don't think that's going to be the case, but it's definitely trending that direction. It's usually more convenient. A lot more places have a lot better internet. The only thing that'll keep it an issue like in the United States is data caps.
Yeah.
That's the main issue.
That's the biggest, but, like, the biggest issue. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, admittedly, a huge issue, especially when games like, what, Call of Duty is like 200 gigs right now. Like, it's an issue. Imagine, like, you talk to your parents, you're like, oh, we went over data cap. Sorry, I had to download a game. It was 200 gigs, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be wild, but we'll see what follows suits. Usually it's only time before everything does follow, because it's not like, unless it's like a, you know, a AAA studio versus like, you know, kind of like a AA studio-ish. Like, sometimes those are cheaper, but most games right now are $60. You know, it's a pretty standard set thing. So I doubt NBA 2K is going to be the only thing that's $69. I'm sure everything else is going to eventually go with that. So we'll see how that affects sales.
Yeah, that's going to be something definitely to look at. Well. Well, one thing too, just to add on with the NBA 2K series, is that if you were to buy the NBA 2K21 Mamba Forever Edition on the mm-hmm. PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, you actually get upgraded to which again that Mamba Forever Edition is $99.99. You do get the standard version of the PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X version. So you do get the standard edition there. So you do get cross-buy situation there, but you just get you just get the standard edition, which is cool, which is understandable. I know a lot of people I know that buy 2K, they always buy like the special edition. So I get that with that, but I think again we're reflecting back on just these prices for titles that we're going to see. This is going to be the generation where we go back to seeing games just being just different prices in general. So $70 is probably going to be the max, and then from there we're just going to see titles in every sort of category, price range category, and I predict that first party titles are still going to be $59.99. Or like you said, they might be $59.99 on digital.
Yeah.
I predict something like that is in the works. And then third party developers are just going to launch as $69.99.
That'll be interesting too, especially, well, I guess first of all, about the Mom Edition, like that looks so bad because like he died not that long ago, and then you lock the Mom Edition to like $100. It just doesn't like sit right, you know. It's just weird to think about, just because like, who isn't a fan of Kobe Bryant? You know, like, you don't watch basketball, who cares? You know who Kobe Bryant is, you know. And then like,
well, 2K has always been like that with different cover artists, you know.
Sure, but like, don't pick one that just died and it looks like you're like profiting off it, you know. it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah, I understand that too.
But like, besides that, like, it'll be interesting, like, if you buy a game for $60, like, some people want it to have, if it doesn't have 20 hours, like, it's not worth it, you know what I mean? Whereas some people, like, oh, 15 hours is perfect, as long as it's good, you know? And then you have Ubisoft, they make, like, insanely long 120-hour games that nobody really wants that style, unless it's, like, an actual, like, straight-up RPG, like The Witcher or something like that. So, like, it'll be interesting how, if games will start to become bloated because the price is higher, like they'll feel obligated to add in more things, even if it's cookie cutter and not as quality. So I hope the quality doesn't go down because developers can say like, hey, our game's, you know, 45 hours or whatever, you know, $2 per hour, or, you know, something stupid like that. But it's weird. Cause $60, like $60 is still a lot, you know, for a game for sure. But it's not at a, we've been at it for quite a while now. Like, I don't even remember when it switched from 50, to be honest. Like, I was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to buy this game because it's 60.
Yeah, it was the PS2 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I honestly don't remember that switch over, like, seeing that first first $60 title or $50 then. I'm like, I don't think it, like, was that much of an issue, you know? For some people, it might be. And I'll be interested how this changes pricing for PC games, you know? Are those going to be affected too?
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about it that way.
It'd be weird seeing a $70 game on Steam to me for some reason, you know?
Yeah, I didn't. I never thought of it that way because technically the
right?
PC version would be just as good as the PS5 and the Xbox Series X version.
Yeah, right? Like it's interesting, like, when you really start to think about, like, the ripple effect this will have everywhere, you know? Like, controller's going to go up, too? Because I know there's a lot more in DualSense than there is the DualShock 4, you know?
I'd rather controls go up. The Switch is already $90 for, like, you know, the two Joy-Cons. I'd rather controls go up. To me, it's more feasible that way. For controls just to go up to like $90,
but they're gonna go up and games are gonna go up.
Yeah. I rather take it one way or the other. I rather the hardware go up, and
yeah, for sure.
And the software like stay like solid. And like I mentioned, this is gonna be again. It's just gonna be a weird time, and that's why I predict. Yeah. That first party titles are going to be $59.99 as we always, you know, thought they were going to be. And then third party titles, there's going to be a lot of them that are $70 and a lot of them that are going to be $60. So we're going to see that same sort of gap, like how we saw in Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis era, where some games were just $80, other games were $60, other games were like $40. We're going to see that gap again.
I don't think it's going to be that separated. I think a lot of them are going to go to 70, unfortunately. But, hey, a couple more months, we'll find out.
Yeah, real soon, we're going to find out just exactly what the $70 price hike entails here.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting to see. So yeah, we will definitely keep up on that. And I hope Nintendo doesn't start putting more Nintendo tax onto things because of this, the ripple effect. So,
well, I'll tell you what, like things like Game Pass, those prices are definitely going to go up eventually. But like, it's such a good value now, it'll increasingly be a better value, you know, if all games go to like $70. It was interesting, and like PS Now, you know what I mean? Like maybe those will be more enticing when these prices go up, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, so yeah, this is something that it's gonna definitely come up and it's gonna hit us, and then we're gonna really, you know, see what these games are worth with and without microtransactions. that's pretty much it for today. Yep. For this week's episode. And yeah, we're closing the floodgate and here we go. Yeah. Closing everything down here. And I would just like to say, just to go ahead and just follow us on, well, like us on Facebook.
I see you did that backwards.
Yeah. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Also, subscribe to Dual Pixels Radio on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play Store, Stitcher TV, and also we're now on iHeartRadio. So definitely go ahead and follow us there. So, you know, once we release the episode, you're the first ones to get it right off the bat. So yeah, follow us on all those major podcast stations, and we'll see you next time.
Wait, follow us on twitch.tv/dualpixels.
Yes, yes, yes. We have been streaming a lot more. We've been playing a lot more Rocket League, like we mentioned. So yeah, follow us on twitch.tv/dualpixels. And yeah, we'll have the link here on the podcast episode. Mm-hmm. So yeah, check us out everywhere. We're everywhere now. So catch us next time.
See you later.